announce it, and I hope you can hear me clearly. I cannot tell you how blessed and privileged I feel today to be with you. My wife can vouch for it. She is with me today. We talk about open door so much, all the way from the name of the church, from the pastor of the church, from the older generation in the church, from the youth, from the music and everything. If it were my own church, I couldn't find any more words to praise the church than Open Door Bible Church. All the way here today we're talking about, and we talked about Steve going to Germany and how God finds a way to keep the church going, especially a church where the Word of God is held up, is proclaimed clearly, is proclaimed without any apologies, and it's bearing fruit. The pastor told me several days ago he was going to Columbus, Ohio for the dedication of the Chick-fil-A. First of all, as a Gideon, I believe God created Chick-fil-A for the Gideons, because every Monday morning after our Gideon prayer meeting at Germantown Methodist Hospital, several of us go to the Chick-fil-A and we solve all the world's problems every Monday. And then I was thinking that when I was at Memphis State in the 60s, my counselor, the foreign student advisor, was a graduate from Ohio State, Columbus, Ohio. And I know Columbus, Ohio, I believe Ohio State has got more foreign students, international students from all over the world, probably even UCLA. And so I am praying, I have been praying, that that Chick-fil-A station will be a place where many will come and they will sense that this is a different type of a business place, and they will find out why. So God works in mysterious ways, and that is a trophy of faith right here. I told a young man yesterday at my shop, I opened the shop just for him to clean his what was needed. He's getting married today downtown, and I told him, I said, I am preaching tomorrow morning at a church where every person will find their needs met. I said, the young folks who have no family will find there a brother, a sister, a grandmother, a grandfather, an uncle, and the older generation, they will find a son and a daughter. In other words, this is the body of Christ, and every member of the body comes together whenever there is a need. And you cannot ask for a better definition of the church, that the whole body so fitly put together, everyone comes to the help of another. I'm going to read a couple of verses from the book of Hebrews today. The year is still young, and I sent my sermon title and the scripture reference to Brother Gary. He said that was fine. And I am going to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. And read a couple of verses. And when you go home, and this afternoon you have time, spare time, do yourself a favor and read the rest of chapter 12 and chapter 13. It will bless you beyond measure. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And then we'll delve into the message. Wherefore, remember, Hebrews was written as an epistle to the people of God who were going through some severe, fiery trials. Many of them were reconsidering whether they had done the right thing or not, or whether they can actually finish the journey with Christ that they had already started. I mean, and the Word of God came just at the right time through the Apostle Paul. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, listen what he did, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will take, as is often said, these lips of clay, sanctify them, and Lord, anoint them, that the word spoken will be mixed with faith, and we all will leave this place to face this new year with our confidence in Christ. In his precious name I pray. Amen. Three words for the new word, for the new year. And I pray, as Moses told the children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy in his farewell speech in chapter 6, he told the children of Israel, let these words that I am speaking to you today be hidden in your heart and in your soul. Let them be as bracelets on your wrist and frontlets between your eyes. Let them be on your doorposts, because only when the word of God penetrates the heart, the mind, and is visible daily before us and on our doorposts, then we can be true witnesses in this coming year. Three words that I picked for today, for this year, are these: but. The second one is continue, and the third word is until. So put on your refrigerator, ladies, and young people, you who are used to wearing colorful bracelets and things, just put them as bracelets. But continue and until. The word but in the Bible is used 3,994 times. But let me tell you, I'll be honest with you, I did not sit down and count every one of them. There is a cheater called a cell phone. And you can go to that app and you push the word, and guess what? It tells you everything you need to know. So very instantly, in the past, I have counted words. But this time, I did not. 3,994 times. You know, the significance of the word but is that but always introduces a contrast. When you see the word but, there is a contrast. And the first scripture example I am going to use that uses the word but, in my opinion, I was very, very selective. And that is found in Genesis, the 6th chapter, the 8th verse. When God was fed up with this creation, and he was ready to wipe everything out, he had been patient with them, had been sending his man of righteousness, preacher of righteousness named Noah. For 120 years, Noah preached that judgment was coming, judgment was coming. And guess what? Nobody heeded. Their imaginations of their heart got worse and worse and worse. And God finally decided the point of no return has arrived, and I'm going to wipe out and start over. So the whole world had been condemned for destruction. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That shows you that no matter how bad our world gets, whether in our own land or whether worldwide, no matter what people do, which direction they go, how hedonistic they get, how ungodly they get, young people in the schools, no matter how ungodly the teachings are, the practices are of the students, you don't care about that, because God has his eye on you, and God says, everyone is going this way, but so-and-so is my own and will find grace in my sight. So don't lose hope. I often say, if I were the only person, I've said that from pulpits repeatedly, if I were the only person in this world, I kid you not, that believed that this is the word of God, and it doesn't change, and it changes life from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. If I were the only person, it would not bother me one bit. I will still believe it as I believe that I'm looking at you right now. So don't be carried away with the masses, what they believe, what they do, what they say. For God's word is forever settled in heaven. His character doesn't change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is the same in 2018, as he was in 2017, as he will be in 2019 if he tarries and the rapture does not take place. Here is a second one, a very significant use of the word but, the contrast, that is found in Acts, the 12th chapter, the 24th verse. And here is the background of that. The church in the book of Acts, that was growing, very prolific growth, great growth. But guess what? Where the word of God is growing, the enemies of God are more than ever determined to undo the progress. And there was a man named Herod, questionable character. And he had beheaded James, the apostle James. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews when he beheaded James, guess what? He put Peter behind bars, behind prison, that after the Passover, he was going to take Peter's head off too. And as God's intervention always happens right at the right time, Peter was released miraculously by an angelic help from the prison. And then Herod was so upset with himself, he had gone to Tyre and he had a situation there, and he gave an oration that the people with one voice shouted, like, this is the voice of a God, the voice of a God. And Herod did not give God credit. He took all the credit to himself, like he was a God. And guess what? The angel of the Lord smote him. His body was eaten up by worms. But here is the thing. Nevertheless, but the word of God grew and multiplied. I don't care who is in power. I don't care who controls the media, who controls the wealth, whether it's two or three trillionaires or millionaires or zillionaires or whatever. I don't care what happens. God knows that nothing that comes against his eternal word will prosper. He lets us go through the testing to see how faithful we are going to be to fight the good fight of faith. But when we have done our part, God will more than do his part, and Herod will come and go, Hitler will come and go, Mussolini will come and go, Stalin will come and go, the professors will come and go, philosophers in Germany or France and England, these will come and go. But the word of God will grow and be multiplied. The atheist Voltaire, that French philosopher, he bragged that within 50 years, the Bible will be out of sight and there will be one just for people to know in antiquity what the Bible looks like. And guess what? Voltaire died broke. The Bible Society bought his house. In his basement, in his own house, they put the printing press, started printing Bibles. Voltaire's book, I understand, you know, his volume was sold for $1 or $2 or whatever. And one copy of the Bible recently sold for $275,000. People come and go. They can threaten all they want. They try to wipe out the word of God. Again, universities, schools, businesses, whatever. You cannot use this word. I don't care. The word of God will grow and be multiplied. I was talking to a gentleman, a pastor who had come back from Myanmar, Burma. And they passed a new law. You know that also in Nepal, new law that you cannot proselyte. I mean, that's a crime punishable by imprisonment or even maybe death. You know what? There is nothing new. That's what Herod did. Guess what? Where Herod is? Herod is gone. The word of God is still growing and bearing fruit, saving lives one at a time. And it will be the same whether it's Saudi Arabia or Burma or China or Russia or Jordan or wherever. The word of God will grow and multiply. Hold on to it. It's not going anywhere. It's not going out of style. Just last year, the Gideons distributed 91 million plus Bibles in 200 countries in over 100 languages. The word of God cannot be stopped. You may soon block the sun when there are no clouds in the sky, as you can wipe out the word of God. So, encouragement for you. When the Gideons come to your campus, young people, get that New Testament. It will change your life, and through you, it will change somebody else's life. I gave that young man yesterday and two New Testaments for his wedding, and one for his wife to be, and one for him. And I went ahead, and as I always do, put in his wife's testament, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Now, she did not strike me as the submissive type, but that does not change the truth. That's the word of God. Wives, get it in the right context. Don't abuse it. Don't twist it. Don't make it suit your preferences. When the Bible says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, that is forever. That is truth forever. But he's not off the hook. I put in his, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So the husband doesn't have any easier time, because that wife, once in a while, is going to be a pain. It will be hard to love her. But nevertheless, he is expected, not expect, but he is commanded to love his wife as unselfishly as Christ loved the church. Aren't you glad that God shows no favoritism? God plays no, he is no respecter of persons or genders, and all the liberation movements and all these movements don't change a bit about the word of God. They'll come and go. 10 years from now, you are going to mention some liberation names. People wouldn't even know who they are. But the word of God, they know it. They know it. All right. And here is the biggest but of all in Acts chapter 13, verse 30. This is when Paul was recounting the history of the nation of Israel before an unfriendly crowd, Jewish crowd. When he had said and given the whole history and brought Jesus down to the cross, into the grave. That's what his haters did. And here is Acts 13:30. But God raised him from the dead. That is the rock. That is the bedrock of your faith and my faith. When everything else is said and done, there is one fact that remains that is worth believing this book. But God raised him from the dead. And if I did not believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, I cannot believe that God would raise my mother out of the dead. I can't believe that he will raise my grandfather and grandmother out of the dead and my father out of the dead. And if I go by way of the grave, I can't believe he will raise me up from the grave. Now, I am praying for the rapture. I have told you before, I don't have a cemetery plot. I don't want to pay for something that I may not use. That's not good business. I am praying still to go straight up in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But if I don't go that way, I am going to sleep and rest with the assertion that when I wake up, I shall be satisfied when I behold him in his face. Hallelujah. But God raised him from the dead. There is no more significant truth in all of the world and human history than that God raised Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. Now, the second word is continue. Continue. Continue is used not as many times, 38 times. Continue. You are trained to do something by the best in the business, by the best in the profession. And it has worked. It has yielded great results. What is the soundest advice you can give your followers? Continue. If my father handed down a business to me, and I've seen how he took it from nothing and made it thrive and prosper and expand and be prosperous, and my father is trying to retire or he is about to die, and he says, son, continue. Continue. I don't have to look here and there and everywhere, you know. What can I do? There is the example. It has worked. So in the year 2018, whatsoever you had been doing to bring you to this point, to give you the victory in Christian living, to give you the joy of living, to give you the sense of fulfillment with you and your family and your church, everything, don't look around. There are new theories coming out every day. It's not worth the time of day to even look at them. I don't go to bookstores. I don't read anything that's not 400 or 500 years old. That's my modern reading. Usually, contemporary reading. But recently, I asked for a book for my wife to order me 2 or 3 books, and one of them was from the 1600s. And she looked at me. I said, "Yeah, that's pretty contemporary." That was Blaise Pascal, and that young man, 38, 39 years old, has said more in a few lines, you know, than our Yale and Harvard and Cornell and whatever they are teaching philosophy students in 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years. Continue. God has brought us this far. He's not going to let us down now. We are getting ready for the landing. Steve understands that language. We are getting ready for the landing or the takeoff, whichever way you want to look at it. Continue thou. Paul told Timothy, he said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and received, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, which is by faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished in all things. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You have a godly pastor, and he has been teaching you the word of God. Continue in that teaching. New theories come. I don't care whether they come from Canterbury or whether they come from a philosophy department in Germany or where or wherever, whatever divinity school. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. This is a sure word. This is not waiting every morning like the weathercock, you know, to see which way the wind is going to turn that weathercock. This word is for sure. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. You are doing a business. It's successful. Continue in that thing. You are teaching. Continue and bearing fruit. Continue in that thing. Secondly, other thing to continue. It says, let brotherly love continue. And I can truthfully tell you, I don't need to expand that anymore in this congregation. Because you show brotherly love. As I've said, I have bragged on the fellowship, the tight-knit spirit here. And it's not a social club. It's not a country club tightness or whatever. This is true spiritual closeness. It says, continue. Let brotherly love continue. That's in Hebrews 13, chapter, the first verse. That's why I told you, read also chapter 13. Because it talks about hospitality, show entertaining strangers. For some have entertained angels unawares. But let brotherly love continue. Do not grow weary in well-doing. For in due season you will reap your reward if you faint not. It's not important to start well. It's far more important to finish well. Let brotherly love continue. A lot of work, Christian work, started wonderfully and whatever, but guess what? Halfway on the way, they just got shipwrecked. They got off their eyes on the fundamentals and they lost direction. Whatever else we continue in, Colossians, the 4th chapter, verses 2 to 6, these are wonderful five verses, but the verse that I'm going to use is continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. I was at a Christian function last Wednesday, and the teacher, the speaker, made the remark that I have heard it many times. I'm sure you have heard it. He says, we talk so much about prayer, but we do so little praying. I have been in prayer meetings. Let's say it's a 40-minute affair. 35 minutes we are talking about prayer needs and 5 minutes to spend time in prayer. Continue thou in prayer and watch in the same with thanks. What did Jesus tell his disciples in the garden just before they came and took him? He said, watch and pray, lest ye fall into temptation. And guess what? The disciples could not stay awake for 1 hour. He came the first time, they were asleep. He came the second time, they were asleep. The third time he said, let's go, let's go. They are already here to take me. But you watch. Marching to Zion, the word march is a military term. When you are marching, you are not walking haphazardly, carelessly, unaware of what's going on around you. When you are marching, you are going in a certain direction. You have a point, you have a target, you are going there. And also you are watching for anything that may come up against you. And prayer is that way, and watching especially in prayer, because that serpent is going to come unannounced, but you can guarantee that he is going to be there. That's why the Bible says the serpent being the more subtle of all the creatures in the garden, the serpent came and deceived the woman, and through her deceived the man. Watch, watch. Jesus said, again I say unto you, watch, because there are going to be deceivers in the last days. Things are going to sound so good, so smooth. As a matter of fact, the Antichrist is going to come as the greatest peace broker. He is going to come as master diplomat that could put enemies together, bring booming economy, bring world peace and everything else. But watch, Jesus said, watch, watch, watch. When they say, here is Christ and there is Christ, he said, don't believe them. Don't believe them. Watch in prayer. Before you take a step in 2018, sit down, pray about it, watch what's going on, weigh the things. After weighing options, then wait on the Lord for his final green light. I'm about to make a decision. I have been deliberating it for quite some time now, and it has to do with the market. I have been burned before. You know why? Because of impatience. I have asked the Lord's will, and after so many days, it doesn't happen, and that rascal keeps going up and up and up, and I say, how long am I going to wait? Now is the time to jump in before hearing from the Word, and guess what? That may have been the happiest time that I jumped in. But the happier time even than that was when I got out. Not getting burned completely. Coming down in flames. And I am going through the same process again. But I have learned my lesson. I will not take a step. If I have asked God to guide me, it is pointless to wait 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. And then I say, well, I didn't hear from God. I'm going to go and do it. King David and King Saul were two great examples of that. David waited on the Lord before the next military campaign. Shall I go? Shall I go? Shall I go? God said, no, no. Well, the third time he said, you can go. When you feel the mulberry trees, you know, swaying in the wind, that's your signal. Then you can go. So wait on the Lord in 2018. You are about to make a very significant decision. It's the right thing. It's the right desire. But still, wait on the Lord. He knows the better time for it. When I have purchased things at God's timing, I have gotten better product at a better price, giving me greater satisfaction. Take that from experience. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Things are not very good. Thank the Lord for it. Anybody can thank God, you know, when the things are going really well. It takes a faith, spiritual giant, you know, to thank God when things are not going that well. You had your quota in sales. You didn't meet the quota. Thank God for it. God doesn't always work in December. He can work in January, February, March through November. And if God blesses you in December, don't get a big head about it and plan everything like this is going to be December all year long. No. There are years of plenty and there are years of leanness. That's what Joseph taught Pharaoh. 7 years of abundance and 7 years of leanness. Business will not boom at the same rate. The same way it's going up, it can come down. Relationships are that way. Wait, wait on the Lord with thanksgiving. God, I am going to thank you no matter what. And finally, John 15:9. This is the chapter about I am the true vine and you are the branches. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. As now Jesus elevates love to the highest level. As the Father has loved me. Can you imagine a greater love than the Father would have for his Son? Only begotten Son? No way. So have I loved you. That's the way Jesus loves me. And continue ye in my love. And you know how you define loving Christ? One word. How you define loving Christ? Obey. Obey. You can talk about loving Christ all you want, all I want. I can write books and preach sermons. And if I'm not obeying his word, I am not really loving him. Because he said he loved his Father and he obeyed. I mean, Jesus himself, so many times he told the Jews, as I see my Father do, so do I. I've heard it from my Father, so I'm teaching, so I'm obeying my Father. So, love, continue in love. And now the last word. How long do you go in 2016? How long do you go doing these things? Until. That's the third word. But, continue until. You know what until indicates? It means completion. Until the mission is complete. You pull guard duty. You are assigned for 3 hours. You did not complete your guard duty if you went back to the barracks in 2 hours and 58 minutes. Because in those last 2 minutes, all hell may break loose. How long do you do it? Until that completion point. In Psalm 73:17, there is a very practical until here. The psalmist had looked around. The wicked seemingly are prospering. They are having their way. And the righteous are not having it that good. And the man almost lost his faith. He said, I almost slipped when I thought about that. Until I went into the house of God. Then I saw their end, that they are on slippery ground, and in a moment God was going to take them out. Until to the very end. It's not over till it's over. Isaiah, God told Isaiah, he said, go and preach. The judgment is coming because these are stiff-necked people. They will hear and will not hear. They will listen, but they will not understand. They will look, but they just turn away, just like blind people. And Isaiah asked the logical question, how long do I preach? How long do I preach this thing? Listen to the answer in Isaiah 6, verse 11. Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant and the houses without man and the land be utterly destroyed. You know what God was saying? He's saying, Isaiah, I am putting you on a mission, and I know they're not going to listen to your words. They're not going to heed your words. And every judgment you are warning them against, they will ignore it. But still, I want you to go and preach until the judgment becomes a reality. Tell a preacher, you know, how long do you preach? You must be born again, you must be born again. If he's the true preacher, he will say, until you are born again. That's what they said about a preacher went to a new church. And one of the congregation members, he was kind of getting tired of the preacher. You must be born again, you must be born again. One day he asked the pastor, he said, Pastor, how long are you going to preach? You must be born again. Why do you preach all the time? You must be born again. And the pastor looked at him and said, because you must be born again. Until these things will happen. And right now, it's just like a fairy tale. You tell somebody, hey, judgment is coming. You tell somebody, hey, it's all going to break loose. Hey, there is something is rapture. They look at you like, are you crazy? And if I am crazy, let me go on being crazy. I am happy being crazy. God says, do it until. And here is a good until. Listen to the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy. How long did Paul preach? How long did Paul endure shipwrecks, beatings, scourging, and everything else? Until he could say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Therefore, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but to all who love his appearing. How long do you serve the Lord? Patiently, thankfully, determinedly, knowingly, willingly, until the time comes when God reveals to you it's time to go, and you say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. That's all you can do. And to close it all, the greatest until in all of Scripture, and it's quoted in the New Testament, but it comes in the book of Psalms. Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. How long Jesus is going to wait in heaven before he has his bride, the church? Until God decides that it is time to take out his church through the rapture. The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand, the position of power, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. I don't know what enemies you are facing in 2018. I don't know what giants you are facing. All I know is that there is the verse that even Jesus Christ is having to wait until God decides this is the right time. I'm going to bring all your enemies to come and bow down before you. And then the end will come. What did Joshua say? Entering a new year, Joshua was leading the people into a new land that they hadn't been before. Joshua said, Moses told Joshua and the people of Israel, he said, fear not, be of good courage. This God is going with us. He will drive the enemies before us. That was for the people. And then to Joshua himself, he said, this same God is going with you and going before you. He it is that is going to fight your enemies. Learn in 2018 that you won't be able to handle enemies yourself, no matter how spiritual you are. Just sit down and watch God do his work. It will be so much more complete, and it will be so much easier to do. Heavenly Father, I thank you today, first of all, for the gift of life, Lord. You watched over your flock in 2017, and now we are 14 days into the new year. And not much is changing. Man still born a sinner. And sin is the curse. Christ is the cure. Father, I thank you for every life here, for everyone that is committed in her life, Lord, to you. I pray that even as you promised Joshua through Moses, your servant, that we'll learn to believe that, Lord, we have nothing to fear because the Lord our God is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The Son of God who gave his life for us is with us. The Holy Spirit is here as light to guide our steps. And give us, Lord, the patience to wait on you and to see your goodness and your salvation. Now, Father, I pray that every need and any need there is in this congregation, that you will meet them, Lord. If it is health, Lord, we cry out to you. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are our healer. Lord, if there is a need financial, you are Jehovah Jireh. You are our provider. But above all, O Lord, that you love to hear from your children, even as we earthly parents, we love to hear from our children and are willing to do anything and whatever is needed. We love you. Continue to bless Open Door Bible Church. Establish it. Put the foundations even deeper. And Lord, let there be like a magnetic pull from east, west, north, and south, young and old, middle age, that people will come here, they will find the Savior, and they will rejoice that they have found a family here. In Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen.